Our reading this morning is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 54. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochor, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochor and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, there shall be our servants and serve us. Then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the men were among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look unto the brethren fair, and take their pledge. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, and Jesse had commanded him. And he commanded to the trench, as the horse was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the men answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned unto him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, when David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servants keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and the bear, and took a ram out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armour, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine hand from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, unchangeable word.
Amen. Thank you very much.
That's quite a marathon. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit who inspired these words will speak to each one of us here today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the willingness and the strength to apply whatever you teach us to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I find the names of football clubs quite interesting. Some of them in England and some of them in Nigeria. There's a local club here called Bolton Wanderers. And I was wondering what they were wondering, why they were wondering. And so I decided to go to their website, and I found a very interesting thing about them. It's a very old club. It was formed in 1874. And it was actually started by a church. It was initially Christ Church Football Club. But apparently the first 4 years of their existence, they found it difficult to find a permanent playing ground. So they went from one ground to another, and they actually used 3 grounds in 4 years. And that is why they said they were wandering from one ground to another, and they were given the nickname, or they chose the nickname, the Wanderers. The Wanderers. Now, in Nigeria, we have also eye-catching names for our football clubs. I'll just mention a few of them. For example, Kano Pillars. Then we have Bridge Boys. Then we have Shooting Stars. Worry Wolves. Then we have Mighty Jets. And the Niger Tornadoes. Now, but one name that really stuck in my mind, being an old man, is a name that was there in the 50s and 60s. And this particular club is from the eastern part of our country. And they had very passionate supporters. And they gave some very top clubs really tough time, and their name was Aba Giant Killers. Giant Killers. And this particular name always reminded me of the story that Gary read for us this morning, the story of David and Goliath. It is very familiar to all of us, but I want to say at the outset that please keep your minds very open. Don't say that because it is so familiar, you have nothing to learn. The Holy Spirit will surprise you. And it's my prayer that we'll all live here today with something learned from this story. So the title of this message is The Battle of the Champions. the battle of the champions. At the beginning of this battle, we had a very proud, boastful Philistine champion, Goliath. But at the end, the one that was standing was actually the real champion. The real champion, a very young shepherd, David of Israel. Now, I want to focus on just four points very quickly. And the 4 points from the story are, the first one is, do not give in to fear. Do not give in to fear. Secondly, do not give in to opposition. And thirdly, God has not changed. And lastly, very well captured in the song, the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's look at the first one. Do not give in to fear. The passage we read clearly showed that the Israelites, including their king, King Saul, were all very afraid of the Philistine champion Goliath. If you look at verse 11 of the passage, it says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And verse 24 also says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. The tool of fear was used again and again by Goliath. It didn't just stop one day. If you read in verse 16, we are told that for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. So he was tormenting them morning, evening, 40 long days. And fear came into their hearts again and again. Now, when we are confronted with problems, one of our first emotions is fear. It is natural. It just comes like that. And we tend to assume that the very worst would happen. And the other thing is that in line with the tactics used by Goliath, the evil one will use the tool of fear against us again and again, relentlessly. Now, I find the following quotations about fear quite relevant. One of them you all know very well because it's been repeated again and again. It is a statement made by the late U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt during his first inaugural address on March 4, 1933. He said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." Then there is a German proverb. I don't know if there's any German among us. But there is a German proverb which says, fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. And then there was a statement made by the late Lieutenant John Portman Jr. of the U.S. Air Force. He said, courage is not the lack of fear, but the ability to face it. So fear will come, but courage is actually the ability to face that fear. So brothers and sisters in Christ, when the evil one comes like a flood, when he uses his tool of fear to attack us, let us not give in. Giving in is not an option for you and I. We must not give in. But instead, let us resist with faith, with love, and with hope. Do not magnify your problem with fear. But remember that God is in control even when you don't know it or you don't actually realize it. We need to pray fervently and feed our minds with the powerful words of God. I think it's very important when we are going through a period of fear to read the Word of God and just use the Word of God to displace fear from our hearts. And there are many, many verses of Scripture that you could use. I just picked three sets of verses. John 14:27, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then Paul, in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, told the young Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." And Philippians 4, 6 to 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation," remember that, "in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the result of it, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." May God help each one of us to overcome all our fears and to truly enjoy His peace, which passes all understanding. It was Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The second point I want to dwell on is, do not give in to opposition. Now, as we found in 1 Samuel 17, verses 17 to 18, taking part in the battle was not actually in the original plan for David. It was just to take food to his brothers. He was a young man, not qualified to be in battle. It was just to take food to his brothers. But when he got to the battle front, I believe God gave him a different instruction. God told him clearly he had to do something. He had to take part in the battle. And David decided to do what God put in his mind. And he would not give in to any opposition. Now, if you look at what his brother said, his brother actually was quite furious and even insulted the young man. But David would not allow his brother's insult to actually make him change his mind. Then we see in verses 33 to 37 that King Saul also tried to persuade the young man not to go to battle. But he would not give up. He wanted to do what God put in his mind. And then the wrong armor. He could not wear the armor that was given to him. That even could not stop him from doing the will of God. And I ask you this morning, is God asking you to change your plan, to be in line with His plan? Maybe you've been going in a particular direction, and today God is saying, it is time to change your direction. Are you prepared to do that? Now, I think Jane and I have experienced a lot of changes in our plans over the years. And the latest one is coming to Chorley. Some of you have asked me, what are you doing in Chorley? In fact, one of our friends who lives in Canada Googled Chorley. She didn't know where Chorley was. So Googled Chorley and read something about Chorley and said, what are you doing in Chorley? It's one of the worst places to live in. But of course, we are going to assure her that it's one of the best places to live in. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we spent more than 6 months looking for a house. And I just, on three different occasions, we just missed getting the right house. And one of them I will mention in particular. There was a house in Eastbourne that we liked very much. And we liked Eastbourne. You know, I don't know if you've been there, but you know, it's ideal for old people to retire. You can go to the beach and relax. It's quite easy to relax there. And then Jane and I did something. We looked around for a restaurant, and we found a restaurant with very nice food, good prices, and we thought, that is it. We are going to settle in Eastbourne. Unfortunately, even after we submitted all the required documentation, the seller decided to pull it out of the market. But we had come to check a house here in Whittle Woods. I never heard of Whittle Woods before. And the house was very nice. And we prayed and prayed over the many months and weeks. And the Lord was telling us that was the place. And we accepted. We put in our offer. It was accepted. Everything went smoothly. Survey went very well. We didn't have to spend money to move in. To repair the building, And here we are today. And I ask myself, why are we in Chorley? The Lord brought us to Chorley. The Lord changed our plans, not to live in Eastbourne on the south coast, near our family, because our family, they live in the south, but to come to Chorley. And I want to say that He has brought us to this congregation for a purpose. I still don't know what that purpose is, but I just know that it's a privilege for us, with God's change plan, it's a privilege for us to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ. We are on the same journey, and we know that we are going to enjoy the journey together because it is within God's plan. So I encourage you, if God has changed your plan, if God has indicated something to you that you need to do, accept it willingly. Do God's will, and don't let any opposition change your mind. Follow the steps of our God. The next point is, God has not changed. Now, one of the key reasons for David's victory was the realization that God had not changed. As a dedicated shepherd, David protected the sheep under his care and even risked his life for them. When confronted by Goliath, David remembered how God helped him to rescue his sheep from the mouths of lion and a bear. He was confident that the same God who granted him victory over the wild lion and bear will grant him victory over the Philistine giant Goliath. Let's look at verses 34 to 37 of that passage and listen to what David said. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." When we are going through our problems, let us recall victories from the past. Just recall those victories. I believe each one of us has something to say that God has done for us in the past. Difficult times that God put you through in the past. Recall those memories. Just rehearse them in your mind. And know that that same God is alive and well today. Amen. And the victory granted you in the past was not a fluke. He can do it again. He can grant you victory again. Our God has not changed. I remember that at the end of every year, we have New Year service. I don't know if it's a practice in this church, but one of the famous songs, or one that comes again and again, is, "Oh God, our help in ages past." We like to sing it. It's our God who helped us in the past, but we also use that song to look into the future. It's our God who helped us in the past. He will also help us in future. So let us remember that God has not changed. Then the last point I want to touch on is the battle belongs to the Lord. One of the key reasons for David's success on the battlefield was the realization that it was God alone who gave him the victory. It was God alone who could help him overcome this giant Goliath. And he recognized that the lifeless Philistine gods that Goliath trusted in were nothing compared with the living God of Israel. Now, on the outside, the giant Goliath looked incredibly strong, while the young man David looked very weak. The Israelite soldiers were afraid of Goliath. Why? Because of his outward appearance. But David was different. David was not afraid. Why? Because of what was inside David. And what was inside David was his faith and total trust that God would conquer. God will conquer. God will grant him victory. Now, many Israelites saw the battle as the battle between Israel and the Philistines. But by faith, David saw the battle as the battle between God and the Philistines. While many saw the battle as being between David and Goliath, by faith, David saw it as a battle between God and Goliath. And there is only one victor. There can only be one victor in such a battle. When it is a battle between God and Goliath, or God and the Philistines, there is only one winner. And that is the Almighty God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if you see your problems as a battle between God and your problems, who is going to win? God will win hands down. So this morning, look at your problem in a different way. It's a battle, yes. But it's a battle between God and your problems, whatever that problem might be. It's not a battle between you and your problems. It's a battle between God and your problems. And God will surely, surely give you the victory. From a human point of view, David's physical strength and his weapons were very weak. He had just a staff, 5 smooth stones, and a sling. And this was nothing compared with the armor that the Philistine had and the physical strength of Goliath. Nothing compared with that. But David's real weapon against Goliath was the powerful, dependable name of the Lord Almighty. Let's hear what he said in verses 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Those words are remarkable for a young man. He must have been reading a lot about God, and he experienced God in many powerful ways. But those words are really very, very strong words. The battle is the Lord's, and the tool for fighting the battle is the name of the Almighty God. And so I will ask you this morning, what tools are you using for fighting the battle? We also see that David was very concerned about the name of God. He said that he would actually give glory to God. It is the glory to God that he was looking for. He wasn't looking for making a name for himself, but rather through that victory, he was going to bring glory to the Almighty God. As we face our problems today, whether big or small, let us remember that the battle truly belongs to God. Let us take it out of our hands and put it in the hands of the living God. Let us use the tool of the name of the Almighty God to fight those battles. It's very easy not to think in this way. We need to change our thinking. Take it out of your hand. Put it in his hands. He will fight it for you. But I want to admit that maybe for you and I, our Goliaths are still standing today. You look and the Goliath is still there. Yesterday, Goliath was there. But remember what he did. For 40 days, morning and evening, he was standing there, terrorizing the Israelites. But the day came when Goliath fell flat on his face through the power of God. So I would like to say that if your Goliath is still standing today, don't be afraid. Look straight at Goliath and tell Goliath, "You will fall. The time will come, you will fall." And it's my prayer that while Goliath is standing, that you and I will have the strength to carry on. The strength from the Lord to carry on. It's very easy for us to feel afraid, to feel weak, and feel tired that we've been carrying this problem for a long time. But remember the words, the encouragement that we get in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And I'll read from 25 to 31, then I'll round up. Isaiah 40, 25 to 31. "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And get this, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's my prayer that God will refresh you today. It's my prayer that God will give you a new strength today to face whatever problems you are facing. I have preached this sermon to myself because I have some Goliath still standing in my life. But I move on by faith, knowing that God will provide the strength, and in his good time, Goliath will fall. In the name of the Lord, and all glory will go to him. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you of the key reasons behind the spectacular victory of David over Goliath. Number one, David did not give in to fear. Two, David was totally committed to doing God's will. Three, David recognized that God had not changed. Four, David recognized that the battle belongs to the Lord. May God help us to apply these to our lives. Let us follow David's example. But furthermore, as I reflected on the way David risked his life for his sheep and for Israel, I remember how Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, actually died for us on the cross. He died for us so that we'll be forgiven. He died for us so that we can have access to God's power, so that we can have access to God's love, so that we can have all that we need to fight our earthly battles, and at the end of the day, to actually be with him in heaven. But this privilege we can only have if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So, brothers and sisters, it's a message that we need to carry to the world. But if there's anybody here who has not yet taken step of faith in Jesus, I challenge you to do that. But for those of us who have, I would like us to look at our lives. Review your life today and see if there's any area where you are letting our Lord Jesus down. If there is, I encourage you and challenge you to rededicate your life to him. Yes, our strength is in the Lord. Yes, victory is ours. Yes, our Goliaths will fall in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that indeed we can depend on you for our victories. Even though it might take a long time, and even if we don't get that victory in this life, we know that the ultimate victory is for us to be with you. So we thank you, Lord, that you are with us fighting our battles with us here below. And we pray that you continue to strengthen us, that you continue to help us, to refresh us. And Lord, we pray that all glory will go to you. So I pray that these weak words that have gone out of my mouth will be used powerfully in blessing each one of us. For I ask all these things In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.